The reading today comes from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21. Jesus presented in the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what is in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Well, good morning, everyone. How are you? It's great to see you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a God who speaks to us. We pray now that we will see how Jesus brings hope. In his name we pray. Amen. The two devastating words left me feeling hopeless and lost. Tumor and incurable. They are not my words. They are the words of a man who had to work his way through terminal cancer. With dreams shattered, a family distraught, a body racked by chemotherapy, and a faith crumbling. He was forced to ask, does God care? Is there hope? Tumor, incurable. They may not be your words, but maybe you have other words that leave you feeling hopeless or lost. Maybe not all the time, but maybe some of the time you feel like that as well. Today we're saying Jesus brings hope as we begin this new series. And he does, like in this passage that we've read, he clearly does bring hope. But what about today? How does Jesus bring hope for our world today? For us, for the people who are over there working out in the gym. For the people who are in their homes at the moment just reading the Sunday paper. For the single mum, for whoever it is, how does Jesus bring hope today? That's the question I want us to consider this morning. It will help if you have Luke 2 open, and you might want to follow on with the outline inside your handout. So the first point that I want to make is that Jesus brings hope fulfilled. Think about hope for a moment and what it is. It's the The looking forward to something future, isn't it? Something that you don't have right now, but you long to have it. You want it to come. You want it to be reality. You want that thing to be realized in your life. And it could be a whole lot of things. It could be that hope of getting married, or that hope of being able to have children, that hope of buying your first home, the hope of being healed, whatever it is, that hope, that thing that you long for, and you want it to be true, you want to have it. When it comes, then it is fulfilled, it is realized. And this passage before us in Luke 2, we've got Simeon and we've got Anna. And their hope is this. Their hope is that God would come to rescue and comfort his people. That is their hope. So let's have a look at that, and then we'll consider the implications for us in the world today. So Simeon, who is this guy Simeon? We're not told a whole lot, are we? We're told about his spiritual condition. That says he is righteous, he is devout, and he lives in hope. He lives in hope that God's promise will come true. What about Anna? Who is she? It says that she is a woman who is devoted to God. It says that she's old. She's been a widow for most her life. She was married for 7 years, but since then she's been a widow. So she's either 84 years old or she's been a widow for 84 years. And she's chosen to live a life devoted to the service of God. Not to remarry, and not that those two are exclusive, but she lives a life, she's worshipping God every day. She goes to the temple, she's fasting, she's praying. She has this hope, like Simeon, that God's promise will come true. Now have a look at verse 25. It tells us there what Simeon is hoping for. He is waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is the deliverance of that nation. Now it probably goes back to the prophet Isaiah. So words like this from Isaiah chapter 40. It says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." Or Isaiah 49. "Shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." Now when Isaiah spoke these words, they were in exile in Babylon. But since these words, some 700 years have gone by. Simeon now, he's in the temple courts. And Israel are no longer in exile, but they're not really a nation either. Now they are a people who are under Roman rule. So this hope remains that God will come and rescue and deliver them, restore them, as a nation. As Simeon waits, as he longs for this, who is it that he is waiting for? I have a look at verse 26. We've looked at what he's waiting for, who. Verse 26 says, "It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Now you see the connection there between this comfort and this deliverance that he longs for and the Christ, the Messiah. So God would send someone, and the one that God would send, he would be the one who would bring this deliverance for the people. And that is the Messiah, the Christ. This is Simeon's hope. And here we see in Jesus, this hope is fulfilled. Keep looking, verse 27. "Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." In Jesus, here Jesus is eight days old. Simeon sees him, takes him in his arms. And in Jesus, he can say that God's salvation has come. In Jesus, hope is fulfilled. He is a very happy man. And he's happy to die. He has seen God's salvation in this child, Jesus, who has been born. Well, Anna is a prophetess. And at this very moment, as Simeon holds this child in his arms, she comes up and she thanks God and she speaks about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So she too sees that this child is the answer, that he brings God's salvation. So she thanks God and she speaks about this to all who are there. You see, in Jesus, God's salvation has come. In Jesus, we have hope fulfilled. Simeon and Anna, they lived a good life, but it was an unfulfilled life until Jesus came. In Jesus, fulfillment had come to the point that then Simeon was happy to die. He was ready to go. Now, I wonder how true this is today. People can live a good life, but maybe an unfulfilled life. The promo for this series, as it goes, we love our lifestyle, our freedom, our city, but there is still something missing, isn't there? We long for more, but more of what? Will more success, more stuff, more friends really satisfy? And as we keep looking at what Jesus brings, we will see how he answers these questions. We'll see how he's not an answer, but that he is the answer. Because Jesus brings hope fulfilled. Well, the second point I want to make, Jesus brings hope for all people. Jesus brings hope for all people. What we've looked at so far is just one nation, who weren't even really a nation. But this is good news for all people. For people in the Ukraine at the moment doing it tough. For people, for the kids in South Sudan at the moment, that the newest nation in the world. But those kids there who have seen their parents killed by civil unrest that's been going on there for the last couple of months. For the woman who has miscarried and not for the first time. For the person who is struggling with depression for too long. For the man who seems to have it all. He seems to have it all in his life, yet he knows that there is still something that is missing. This child has come, Jesus, and he brings hope for all people, not just Israel. See it in the words of Simeon, verse 30. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." It says there that a light. Jesus is this light. A light is good, isn't it? A light shows you the way. It is not darkness. This light, has come. This light is for all people. Firstly, it's for revelation to the Gentiles. The Gentiles, the non-Jews, all the other nations. Now, while Israel knew the good news of God's salvation and they were looking forward to it, that was their hope, deliverance as a nation, now it's revelation for everyone else that Jesus, his coming, is salvation, not just for Israel, but for all people. Now, that shouldn't be a surprise for Israel, for Isaiah had spoken about this. In Isaiah 49, verse 6, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the end of the earth." See, it was spoken about there hundreds and hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus. So a light for the revelation to the nations, and a light for the glory to Israel. Again, Isaiah already spoke of this in Isaiah chapter 60. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." See, Jesus, he brings hope for all people, not just Israel, for all nations. And that is still true today. He is a light. He shows the way. And as we keep going through this series, we will see more of this salvation that Jesus brings and how it is good news, not just for God's people Israel, but now for all people, all nations today. So let's have a think about some of what this involves, this hope that Jesus brings. So our last point, and I started with those two words, tumor, incurable. How is Jesus' hope for that person? Well, that person is a guy that you might have heard of down in Canberra called David McDonald. He's just brought out a new book called Hope Beyond Cure. And he tells his story there and how it wasn't easy and how still it isn't easy. But his hope is firmly in Jesus. And he knows that Jesus has won for him life beyond death. So his body is suffering. Like all of us, his life here will come to an end. But he has this sure hope that just like Jesus was raised to life again, that he too will be part of that resurrected life. And there he will have a new body, a restored body, that will not suffer from cancer. That is the hope of deliverance, of comfort. He has it now, and he looks forward still to what is to come. And he's no longer tormented by those words, tumor, incurable. He now lives by three other words, faith, hope, and love. And he knew those words for years, but now in a very real way, he's living by those three words. So that's the first example. Second one, do you remember, were you here, our second banner that was up on the roundabout just as you came into the car park? Do you remember what that said? It was inspired by Brian Mobbs, who is no longer with us, but has gone to be with the Lord. It read, "Putting the hope in Stanhope." So that was our claim. That's what we were saying. Putting the hope in Stanhope. That Jesus is the one who puts the hope in Stanhope for this suburb. Did you know last week, so Monday of, not this week just gone, the one before, that Life Anglican Church was acknowledged in federal parliament for doing just this. So our local member, Michelle Rowland, she made a speech in parliament speaking of Life Anglican Church as a place of comfort. And you might know that just last weekend, the nursing home, Quakers Hill Nursing Home, was reopened. And it's been rebuilt. It's a very impressive nursing home now. You'd be very pleased to send your mother to a nursing home like that. You'd remember that the tragedy that took place when that was burnt down, the 11 lives that were lost, the lives that were lost afterwards as a result of that fire. And you will know that the church on that morning became a safe place of comfort. That it was a triage, that it was a place for residents who were brought out of the nursing home to be able to come into that church and to be looked after there for a few hours. Where the staff, those nurses, were able to meet on that day, but for weeks afterwards, they would keep coming and receive counselling in the church there. Rescue services, they met there in the church. This is the difference that Jesus can make. He doesn't just bring hope, but his people bring that same hope to the people who are around them. See, Jesus brings hope for us, and then, because like that prisoner before, he said that Christ is in me, Jesus is in me, we then bring this hope to other people. This deliverance, this comfort in life now. It's not just all about what is to come, but also now, the hope that Jesus brings. Jesus is light. Just as Jesus is light, we as a church, we can be light in this world. We are light in this world. Third example, so Mark and Mel being sent to prison, choosing to go. Because they've seen the hope that Jesus brings to those inmates. The program, the Step Out, Step Free program. Prisoners are seeing that Jesus is the answer. The government are seeing that this works. The government is asking people like Operation Foundation, who Mark and Mel are with, they're asking them to run this program in their prisons. I think there are more prisons that they can run this program in than they're able to. Right? That the government is seeing that this works. These prisoners are being changed. And it's not just behaviour change, this is heart change, which leads to behaviour change. But it's a change of the heart. These people are coming to see that Jesus is salvation. They are coming to Christ, and that is then transforming their life. Exciting what Mark and Mel are about to be a part of. And we as a church, we get to partner with them in this. And we share, in a sense, in what they will be doing in Fiji. This hope that Jesus brings, right? It is now. Because we can share in this salvation that Jesus brings now. It's future also. Because we still look forward to when Jesus will return. And when we will be there in the new creation. And it changes lives now. As we finish, I want to give you an invitation, maybe a challenge. Because my hope here is that all of us can be sharing this hope with those around us, and that we can do that in one specific way in the coming months. I would love us all to think of someone, to be able to give this copy of Luke's Gospel to someone. It's called The Search. All right, so thinking about someone who would benefit from the hope that Jesus brings. Could you invite someone to read this in the coming months? To consider Jesus and how he does bring hope today. As a church, we've bought a couple of hundred. So I want to give you one that you can then give to someone else. And talk to them about this with them. Help them to be able to read it. Maybe it's one of the people that you're currently praying for. Maybe one of those people, you could give them this and see if they would read it and discover who Jesus is. We're going to watch a short video which picks up on this whole question of hope and also the search with this little gospel. So we'll watch that and then I'll come up and close in prayer.
We're all searching for something. Something stable, reliable, meaningful. Something more. Someone gave you a book and you opened it. You found a web link and you followed it. They didn't give you the questions. You already had those. Because you, like me, and everyone else, are searching. There's lots to keep us busy. But most of us suspect that even if we found our way to the perfect job, the perfect friends, the perfect relationship, we'd still be searching for something. Now, of course, some people would say that there's nothing to find, but that very much depends on what you think life is. If life is totally random, if it's just you're born, you grow, you go to school, party, study, work, get old, and then you die, then there's no real meaning in life. But most of us don't actually think that. Humanity has always looked to the world around it and concluded that life is not an accident or a mistake. There's something behind what we see. More than 8 out of every 10 people on this planet belong to a religion. And an even higher proportion believe there's a God or supreme being out there. Human beings have always been spiritually curious. It's actually very normal. We sense there's more to life than the weekly rat race and weekend pleasures.
But is there anything to suggest that our hunches are real? You know, that God has shown up in this world in some tangible way. Well, you know, that's not actually a religious question. It's an historical one.
The Bible, an inspired record of God's activities spanning thousands of years of human history, tells us that God actually touched down in a corner of Palestine in the 1st century AD.
Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
His Son is Jesus Christ. And the book called Luke is an historical account of what happened when he stepped onto the world stage.
You might know a lot about Jesus. You might not. You might have heard all sorts of things about what he said and what he did. But this is your chance to start your own search, to look at the actual historical documents for themselves, and to work out what you think.
Make up your own mind about Jesus. Find out whether life is random, or perhaps God has stepped into history to make himself absolutely clear to you.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do praise you that you stepped into this world you made in your Son, Jesus, and that he is salvation. Father, we thank you that because of him, we can know you, have our sins forgiven because of his death on the cross, but that you raised him to new life, that he rules and he's coming back again. Father, thank you that our life can be found in him. And we long for that day when we will be part of the new creation. Father, we praise you that Jesus is salvation for all people of all nations, all backgrounds, all cultures. Father, we pray for our area and where we live, our people who have come from so many different nations. Father, we pray for the people around us that they might come to know who Jesus is, that he brings hope. And Father, use us as you will to show them, to help them see how Jesus is light, how he does bring hope to a broken world. In his name we pray. Amen.